When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Haken, an Animal Crossing podcast, your podcast dedicated to all things Animal Crossing. Episode 199 is brought to you by Becca, Megan Diane, and Kay Rose, some of our newest Patreon patrons. This week, I go on a journey to learn more about one of the most unique ways to play Animal Crossing. I'm speaking with Drew Pag and Cold Eggman about speedrunning Animal Crossing games. We will learn more about what that means, their history with Animal Crossing, and much more. But before we get into that, we have some quick things to cover. So, I've been saying it for the past couple of weeks, episode 200 will be the last Haken episode to air on Chewy Plays. This is episode 199, so there are only two left that are coming out on this YouTube channel. If you want to keep listening or watching on YouTube, head on over to the Haken Podcast YouTube channel. The link is in the description. You can catch it all there, and you'll keep getting Haken goodness in that little section. And I think it's time we get a nice, dedicated Haken channel. So this will be a good place for you all to stop by and keep listening to the show. If you like the show on podcast platforms, no need to worry, it's remaining the same. This change only applies to YouTube. You will still get Haken in your same feed, so no need to go and subscribe anywhere else. You are good to go. And then outside of that, it is also a new month. This is September 7th, the first Tuesday of the month, which means we've got some new Haken artwork. And this Haken artwork is absolutely adorable. It comes from an artist named Dill, and it is so cute. I really love all of the characters playing little board games around the table. And of course, Tucker the mammoth is outside doing some fishing while some friends are inside playing a game. I guess it's a four-player game, but fishing is fine too. Anyways, Dill, wonderful artist, member of our Haken community, they have a lot of links in the description. You can go follow them on Twitter, Etsy, YouTube, Twitch. Go and check them out. Support them. They're making really cool things. And they sent this really nice statement slash letter to us. So I'm going to go ahead and read that all for you here. Hey, Chewy, Sergio, Nina. I hope you're all doing good. I want to start off by saying a huge thank you to Chewy for allowing me to create the art for the podcast this month. It's such a fantastic opportunity for me, and I really can't express just how thankful I am. I've been playing Animal Crossing since Wild World on DS. My first memory with it is getting given a fishing rod and just walking next to water, not having any clue what I was doing. I must have been fishing for a good half an hour before finding a shadow and realizing those were spots you had to fish and not just anywhere in the water. Eventually, I caught a clownfish, and the second I did, I just fell in love with the game. Me and a friend both shared that town on my DS, and we would constantly swap back and forth, just watching each other play with their villagers and seeing what surprises they'd come across next. When I was thinking about making the art, I knew right away I wanted to do a piece outdoors, since the town is my favorite aspect to the Animal Crossing game. I love how they just slowly evolve throughout the year. Once Chewy shared some ideas with me, though, I saw the suggestion about villagers playing a cute board game indoors. I was so torn on both ideas that I decided to try and merge them, which is how I came up with this half-indoor, half-outdoor concept. As for choosing the villagers, I tried to incorporate everyone's favorites, which I hope I got right. Chewy helped me out with that. Also, Nina, as a fellow Lottie fan, take a look at the photo on the top of the bookcase. Teddy is my absolute favorite, so I'm so happy I had the chance to include him in this piece with him having a September birthday. I post art semi-regularly on Twitter and also sometimes do art streams on Twitch. I also have an Etsy store where I sell acrylic charms with my art on it, and I do have some Animal Crossing themed ones on there. Also, speaking of my Etsy, I haven't mentioned this to Chewie, so hopefully he hasn't peeked at this before recording. I would love to send each of you one of my charms each as a gift. The designs I have are Lily, Punchy, Marshall, Flurry, and Tom Nook. Sorry, Sergio, no KK. I did send a picture of them to Chewie when I sent examples of my artwork, but if he doesn't have that handy, just take a look at my Etsy and send me over the details. Anyways, hopefully I haven't rambled on too long. I just want to finish by giving my thanks to all three of you for creating this podcast. It's been a highlight of my Tuesdays ever since I found it during New Horizons launch, and I'm looking forward to listening as it continues. Take care, and I'll see you guys around. Dill, this is so kind of you. Thank you so much. I really like the story of how this all came together and seeing kind of this interior space, but also the outdoors. I really like the cut-in into the villagers' homes, or this could just be some simple panels that somebody set up to create it. So I really like that aspect, and thank you for the background on how it came together. And I will, of course, reach out to Nina and Sergio and tell them about these charms. Thank you. That's all I can say. Just thank you. That is very generous of you. And I'm really excited to see the charms and get one of them. So once again, you can go and follow the links in the description to find Dill and just appreciate this wonderful artwork for the month. It is truly a great piece and I'm really excited about it. And without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get into these interviews about speedrunning Animal Crossing. Hey everybody, this is Chewie, and today I'm here with an Animal Crossing speedrunner. His name is Drew. Hello Drew, how are you doing?
What's up Chewie? I'm doing great, how are you doing?
I'm doing great as well, and if you could really just quickly give us a little idea of who you are and what you do.
Sure, so my name's Drew. I'm a software developer living in Rhode Island. Animal Crossing is my favorite game series, and in January of this year, I started streaming speedruns of Animal Crossing, and it's been pretty fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've been tuning in, and it's been really fun to see Animal Crossing played in such a different way. But before we get into speedrunning the game, I did want to ask you, when did you first get into Animal Crossing?
Yeah, so I got in early with the GameCube game. Thinking back, it was probably third or fourth grade, which was like 2003, 2004. But I first ran into it over my friend's house. I would go over his house a lot to play games, mostly. And he was like, hey, we should try this new game I just got. It's kind of weird. And it was Animal Crossing. I was like, oh, this is kind of weird. But I was watching him play it. I played it a little bit, and I just immediately, you know, loved it. Went home and asked Mom, like, hey, Mom, I need to get this game. And I did my best to convince her, telling her, like, oh, yeah, you pay off a debt. It'll teach me how to, you know, manage my money and pay off loans. She was like, oh, wow. And I got it, you know, pretty quickly. And I just played it. I played it all the time. It was so fun. Just fishing, catching bugs, you know, decorating my house.
I love picturing you just like in a little business suit, little kid, making this pitch to your mom to get the game.
Yeah, I mean, looking back, it's kind of a smart move for a kid. But, I mean, it worked. She may have bought it for me anyway, but, you know.
Yeah, so you mentioned, like, you connected with it pretty quickly. What was it about the game that really, you know, struck a chord in you?
Well, I think one thing was that it was just so different than any other game I had played at that time. Just, like, you know, no real goal, no way to win the game, no score. You kind of just go at your own pace, do whatever you want. And that really sort of resonated with me because I tend to, you know, I'm pretty laid back, sort of do things at my own pace. So it was like almost the perfect game for me. And like I mentioned, the fish and bugs stuff, I love that stuff in real life and in the game. The music was another thing. It's just so relaxing, so good at every hour. And I guess really the real-time element was another thing that was totally new to me. And it just kind of blew me away at the time.
Yeah, yeah, that was... that's a lot of really cool aspects to the game that really aren't shared with too many, too. So I totally get where you're coming from, where it's just like it is a completely different game that's not, you know, games, I feel, tend to have a score. They tend to have some sort of competitive aspect to them. So you could win or you can lose, but that doesn't completely exist in Animal Crossing, which gets to the strange kind of thing that happens with speedrunning in general, which is a kind of competitive aspect to gaming, too. So when did you first learn about speedrunning Animal Crossing?
So I first learned about speedrunning Animal Crossing, I think it was summer 2012. There's a website called Speedruns Live, which actually still exists now, but it's a website where people can race different games for speedruns. And basically a race of a speedrun is two or more people start doing a speedrun at the same time, and whoever finishes first wins the race, and so on. And so I was aware of that website, and one day I decided to look up Animal Crossing to see if anybody was doing races. And it turns out a few people actually were, kind of frequently. And so I kind of watched some of those races. They were doing Goldenrod in the GameCube, which was, you know, catch all the fish. And also like a bingo race, where one of the guys had made a website with like a bingo card generator, which basically generated a card with like goals for Animal Crossing, such as, say, catch a certain fish, catch a certain bug, collect like two items in a certain series, build a snowman, things like that. So it was like a really cool way to play the game that I'd never really thought of before. And so it was pretty interesting watching some of those races. But that was about it for the time. But that was the first time I ever learned about it.
Yeah, I'd never even heard of those like bingo races. That sounds like kind of a fun way to play any game in general.
It really is. I mean, GameCube version was the first time I saw that. But I've seen bingos for other Animal Crossing games. And it's really kind of too bad that I don't think many people know about it, but it is really a fun way to play those games.
Yeah, that sounds like something I'd like to try out at some point. So kind of going back a little bit, like, what was your initial reaction to learning that you could speedrun Animal Crossing?
Yeah, so at first it was kind of like, oh, really? Can you? Because speedrunning Animal Crossing, you kind of alluded to it, but it's sort of like almost against the spirit of Animal Crossing in a lot of ways, because I always consider Animal Crossing as a game that's sort of, you know, meant to be played at a pretty leisurely pace, kind of take your time, do whatever you want. And so that's, you know, against the idea of speedrunning. And then not to mention, for speedrunning, you'd have to, you know, time travel, which is a cardinal sin of Animal Crossing. So that sort of was weird to me at first, but I don't know. As I thought about it more, I started to be like, well, this is a totally different way to play this game that I had, you know, played so much as a kid, played for so long. Sometimes it can get, you know, repetitive or tedious after you've played for a while. So it's just like a totally fresh take on the game. So I kind of became more and more interested. And I thought, I mean, now obviously, I think it's a really cool way to play the game.
Yeah, definitely. So you mentioned kind of learning about it through this website. So I guess you knew about speedrunning before. What kind of speedruns were you watching then?
Yeah, so I guess I wasn't watching too many, but the first time I ever heard of speedrunning was, I think it was like a Reddit post in 2011, December, about this guy named Siglemic doing a Mario 64, 120 star speedruns every day in December to get the world record. And I was like, oh, what is this? This sounds kind of interesting. And so I made a Twitch account, started watching his streams, and it kind of just totally blew me away. Watching this game, Mario 64, that I thought I knew everything about. You know, I had played it so much as a kid. And just seeing this guy just totally break the game. Do things I had never seen, glitches I never knew were possible. And I was like, oh my God. And so I kind of got hooked on his stream. I think I watched it, you know, every day that month after school. And I mean, aside from him, I followed a few other runners at the time, but I never really got into it too much. But watching him play Mario was pretty amazing.
Yeah, same type of childhood here. I played so much Mario 64 that when I first ran into a speedrun, I was just like, I had no idea the game could be played like this at all.
Right.
So it's really cool to see how those things change for sure. So speedrunning has this natural element of competition. Are you a competitive person?
Generally, I would say no, not really, in like the traditional sense of the word, competing against other people, right? Because I'm pretty laid back, you know, I tend to do things at my own pace, pretty relaxed. And so I've never really been competitive in that sense, trying to like beat other people. But speedrunning, I think there are kind of other, you know, definitions of competitive, because obviously one definition is competing against other runners, competing against their times, trying to beat their times, you know, set records and things like that. But for me, I was never really motivated by like breaking records. You know, it's the kind of thing that I never really expected would happen when I first started. But I was more motivated just, you know, trying to improve my own times, sort of competing against myself. And so in that sense, I guess you could say I'm really competitive, because in basically anything I do in life, whether it's, you know, normal things or speed runs, I try to do things like to the best of my ability, the best I can do. And I'm not really satisfied until I like achieve that. So with like speed runs, I mean, I might achieve some good time that's, you know, technically the best if it's better than everybody else's, but I may not be satisfied with it if it's not the best that I can do. So I guess in that sense, I'm sort of self-competitive, if that's a thing. I'm always trying to, you know, be the best I can be.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of, when you describe that, I feel like that is sort of how a lot of us approach Animal Crossing, where we're trying to do the things better for ourselves, you know, like whether it's making more money so we can pay off our loans faster, or it's being able to catch all of the bugs that you need. I feel like you're always kind of competing with yourself in the game in a way.
Right. And I mean, I've seen like at least in New Horizons with the, you know, building and all that, I've seen some amazing towns, people just constantly improving, constantly, you know, innovating. And it's pretty cool to see. But I guess in that sense, that's, you know, also competing in a way.
Does it feel like speedrunning gives a competitive aspect to Animal Crossing, or do you feel like that's kind of just already been a small part of the game?
I think, I mean, maybe it's been a small part of like the game. Thinking back, I mean, the only thing I can really think of is, I guess, like the timer. I think in Wild World and other ones where it would count how many fish and bugs you catch when you have friends over at a certain time. So in that sense, they're kind of competing to see how much you could catch. And I think the same sort of thing is in New Horizons with like the fish tournament and the bug tournament, sort of competing against your friends. But aside from that, there's not really much competition in the game itself. So I do think speedrunning, I mean, aside from, you know, players can create their own competition, I guess, with like, you know, building good towns or catching fish, I guess, or I don't know, any sort of thing. But I do think speedrunning adds a level of competition that's not possible in the normal game. And so I think it's kind of cool to see, and it's kind of cool that it's there. It sort of gives some people another way to play the game that they might enjoy more than just, you know, playing normally.
So I guess let's go to the beginning of you running Animal Crossing. When did you get into running and speedrunning Animal Crossing?
Yeah, so after that first, you know, Speedruns Live thing in like, what, 2012 or whatever, I didn't really look into it for a long time. And then in November of last year, 2020, I randomly decided to look at speedruns.com at other Animal Crossing games to see, you know, what was out there. And I mostly found in City Folk for the Wii and Wild World for the DS, there were some recently active runners. They were doing runs in different categories. And I noticed most of the leaderboards on Wild World and City Folk were Japanese runners, but I followed a bunch of them that seemed to be active. And one guy in particular was pretty active. Yoruno Teo 542. I have to shout him out. I followed his stream. And then in November and December, I watched him probably almost every day. Every day he streamed, it seemed like. Because with the time difference with Japan, it worked out pretty well. I would wake up in the morning, you know, start working from home. It'd be like 6 or 7 a.m. And in Japan time, it'd be like 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. And he'd probably be streaming or starting streaming. So I'd always just have him up on the side, watching him, you know, do Animal Crossing speedruns. And at the time, he was doing mostly City Folk speedruns for the Wii, doing Golden Net, which is where you catch all the bugs as fast as you can. And that was immediately, you know, interesting to me, because catching bugs was always one of my favorite parts of any game. And then just watching him do the speedruns, again, similar to watching Siglami play Mario, I was just seeing him do things that I didn't really know were possible, and like, you know, different strategies, all these things that I didn't know about. I thought I knew this game, but I was learning so much watching his stream, and I kind of was just really hooked on it. So I just kept watching him through December. And then in January 2021, I finally decided to try it for myself. So I asked in his chat for a list or a link to the checklist that he uses to keep track of the bugs he catches. And this guy, Lemon, who's actually another runner and a really cool guy, really supportive, but he sent me a link to the list of bugs. And it was all in Japanese, but it was good enough for me to get started. And at that point, I had everything I needed. And so I just did a stream. I tried it. And my first stream, I was on a CRT TV, you know, Japanese checklist, using my old capture card that I used for Xbox 360 years ago. No webcam, using my laptop microphone, but I just sat down and I tried it. And the first run I tried was Golden Net, because it was the most interesting to me. And I think I sat there and tried it for like 6 or 7 hours. And in the end, I did one bug left, Birdwing Butterfly, but I just couldn't find it. So I gave up for the day. But it was a lot of fun. And I tried it again the next day. And I just kept going from there. And it really sort of grew and grew as time went on.
That's really cool. So that first run, you spent about 6 hours to try to complete it?
I did, yeah. Ultimately, I did not complete it, but I learned a lot. Learned a lot along the way.
Do you happen to remember how long your first run was?
So I think the first run I actually completed was Golden Net, and it was something like 5 hours and 45 minutes, somewhere around that region. And so it took me a while, and I'd never really played Animal Crossing for that long in one sitting and sort of like focused on it like that for so long. So it was all pretty new to me, but I really enjoyed it. I mean, I still do, obviously, but
that's awesome. You also mentioned some pretty interesting things regarding like equipment and everything, like a CRT TV and everything. What version of the game are you running? Did you have to order a Wii from somewhere else? Because I know a lot of things with speedruns is you do play like different region games for faster text and that sort of thing. So, I guess what kind of equipment goes into running Animal Crossing?
Yeah, so yeah, you're exactly right about, you know, the different regions having advantages. So at first I was running on English because that's what I had. But at some point I realized that it was way slower than the Japanese version, mostly because of the text. Text scrolling was just incredibly slow on the English version for some reason. And then in the Japanese, with like the kanji, there's less characters, so it's a little faster in that way. So once I had done it for like a month, and I was like, yeah, this is something I want to try for real, I went on eBay and ordered like a Japanese Wii and a Japanese disc, and I started using that. And I've been using that ever since for City Folk, because of the text, yeah.
So you also mentioned kind of the Golden Net run. So I wanted to ask you, like, which Animal Crossing games are you running and which categories do you run? And if you could give us a little description for each of them.
Sure. So I would say City Folk for the Wii is my favorite game and the one I run the most. But I've also done Wild World runs for the DS. And so you mentioned Golden Net. I've done that in both games. And that's self-explanatory. You try to catch all the bugs as fast as you can, which sounds simple on the surface, but there's a lot of you know, strategy and like routing that goes into it. You know, different things that you probably wouldn't think to do in a normal game or wouldn't want to do in a normal game. Because one example, you cut down all the trees in the town to make it faster. So the result is a horribly ugly town, but it's, you know, more efficient. So that's the trade-off. Another category is all debts that I've done in both games. So that's also pretty self-explanatory. Paying off all your debts to Tom Nook as fast as you can. Get your house upgraded. It's not too interesting, but it's, you know, kind of cool. And along those lines, there's also first debt in City Folk, where you pay off your first debt to Tom Nook as fast as you can. And I guess that's kind of interesting to think about. You know, what would be the fastest possible way to pay off, what is it, 18,400 bells on the first day? And the common route is on Easter, when Zipper T, everyone's favorite bunny, hides eggs around town. And if you dig up the eggs, they either have a ticket or a candy in City Folk. And if you get a ticket, you exchange it for an Easter item which sells for a lot of bells. And if you sell 2 Easter items, you have enough to pay your debt. So that's kind of cool strategy, I guess. Something most people might not think of. Another one, Golden Watering Can, which I've done at both games, which is sort of a different run. Whereas I mentioned the net, I'm kind of just cutting down all the trees, you know, destroying all the flowers sooner or later. But in Golden Watering Can, you're trying to make the perfect town as fast as you can. So it's kind of different, and it's pretty cool. Planting all the trees, making sure you have all your acres, you know, perfect, have your flowers watered, things like that. Sort of a different spin. Let me see. There's Golden Rod, which I've done in City Folk, which is just catching all the fish as fast as you can. That run is probably the most luck-based of all the runs I've done, mainly because when you catch fish, as we all know, you can't see what you're actually catching until you catch it. You can sort of differentiate by like shadow size, but it comes down to luck a lot of the time, unfortunately. Let's see, there's Golden Axe in City Folk, which involves building the fountain and then throwing an axe into the fountain, and then that Chihuahua, I think, Serena, gives you the golden axe with some very low chance. So that one's very luck-based as well. But it's kind of fun, kind of a fun category. And I guess the last one I've done for City Folk was All Golden Tools, which I did last month. And that's probably my second favorite category behind Golden Net. Because All Golden Tools, maybe the name implies, but you collect every golden tool in the game, which would be net, rod, axe, shovel, slingshot, and watering can. So I really like that one because it sort of encapsulates all the other runs in just one run. And there's like always, you know, stuff to think about. There's pretty cool strategy and routing that goes into that. And so that one's a long one. My best time in that is like 10 hours and 5 minutes in City Folk. So that's definitely the longest run I've ever done, but it's also probably the most interesting one I've done.
Yeah, that does sound really fun. I would get so frustrated with the golden axe because I just remember spending months throwing an axe in every single day to Serena and her giving me, I think I came out with like one silver axe out of months of trying.
Oh man. Yeah, she can be mean if she wants to be.
And I do terribly with the luck-based aspects, so that might not be the run for me.
Maybe not. I wouldn't recommend it as a first one.
So I guess you mentioned there's a lot of strategy that goes into these types of runs. So what kind of research do you do to start a run?
Yeah, so mostly, in my case, I guess I was pretty lucky. For City Folk and Wild World, there are already guides out there for some of these runs. Some of them were in like Japanese only, so I had to like translate them as best as I could through like, you know, Google Translate or whatever. But I think that's where I usually start, is looking at existing guides, sort of reading through them to get an idea of what the run looks like or what it should look like, you know, the sort of process and steps that I need to go through to, you know, finish the run. And then another thing I do is watch like existing runs, watch like the record runs, and then try to watch streams of people doing it if I can, just to get a better feel for it, what it's actually like, you know, what I need to do. But I don't know, aside from that, sometimes I do like testing or practice runs. But at a point, I think it's usually best to just try it myself. And that's usually the best way to learn.
So I guess in that vein, what advice do you have for people wanting to get into speedrunning Animal Crossing?
So yeah, I guess the first thing I would say is watch runs as much as you can. Either live streams is maybe ideal, so you can like ask the person about stuff. But also watch, you know, recorded runs just to sort of get a feel for how it goes. If you've never seen a speedrun before, never seen an Animal Crossing speedrun before, it can be pretty useful, pretty good information. But really, I would say the main thing to do and the best way to learn is to just try it yourself. And I mean, Animal Crossing speedruns, they're pretty laid back compared to most other games. So it's fairly easy to just like, you know, create a new town on your Wii or something and start up Animal Crossing and sit down for like an hour or two. I'll take like Golden Net, for example. Just follow the guide and, you know, sit down for an hour or two, see how many bugs you can catch, and then maybe save. And the next day you do it for another hour or two, keep going, and then, you know, sort of progress from there. See if you can do it in one sitting and then think about how you can improve or things you've done slow, things you could do faster. and just keep going with it if you like it.
So you've never really thought of, I guess, having a heart rate monitor during your runs?
Not yet. It'd be kind of interesting because normally I would say, or I'd inclined to say that it wouldn't be too high. I try not to get too nervous. It's usually pretty laid back, but there are definitely times when I get nervous when it's really coming down to the end and I have a chance to improve my time or something. I feel it, but yeah, it's not a bad idea. I'm gonna have to look into that.
I always find it pretty fun just to see, you don't feel it happening because it's adrenaline pumping through, but that's what happens.
No, yeah, you're exactly right. Because in my head, I might not be nervous, but then I look down and my arm is shaking sometimes. I'm like, oh, wow, I guess I am nervous, but yeah.
So I didn't really post this question, but I guess how many world records do you have for speedrunning Animal Crossing?
So right now, I think it's 10 to 12. Somewhere in that range, depending on which wow. categories you consider real.
What's amazing to me is that you just started this process less than a year ago, right?
Yeah, so it's been almost 8 months. I think it's been 7.5 months at this point. So yeah, it's kind of crazy to look back and think about it because it's not something I ever expected to happen. Because at the beginning, I just wanted to do Golden Net because it looked fun. See if I could finish it, but. Over time I kept doing it. I still enjoyed it. Buying the Japanese version to, be able to compete, keep going, trying different categories. And as I got sort of better, I realized oh, wow, I can actually do this. I can actually do all these categories. And so I kind of just kept going with it. And it's been really fun. And I should say the streaming aspect of it too has been a lot of fun, really kept me going. Because, as my channel, slowly grows, it's just adds to the experience really.
Cool. So I guess my last question for you here is, do you speed run any other games or have any desire to run any other games?
So far I haven't tried anything else. At the moment, I have no immediate desire to try anything else. I'm still having fun with Animal Crossing, mostly City Folk and Wild World. I'm not opposed to, trying new games if something catches my eye, but I don't know. Animal Crossing speedruns to me are sort of unique. Like I mentioned, they're obviously fast at this point and I have to optimize things, but they still feel more laid back than most speedrun games. And that's pretty appealing to me.
Well, thanks so much for sitting with us and telling us about speedrunning Animal Crossing. I'm sure a lot of people out there are just having their minds blown that this is a possible way to play Animal Crossing. Like you mentioned at the beginning, it's a really laid back game, so it seems like a weird approach for it, but right. Yeah, I really like getting your insight into it.
Of course. Yeah, no, it's been great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and for our listeners, would you tell them where they can find you, where they can go and check out your speed runs?
Sure. So I stream on Twitch. You can follow me at twitch.tv/DrewPag. And you can find me on Twitter at Uncle Tom Nook. And one last thing, if you're interested in looking at to getting into speedrunning Animal Crossing, definitely don't hesitate to reach out to me or anybody else. I mean, if it's City Folk or Wild World, I'd be happy to help anybody who's interested with questions or, providing links to resources that I use. And there's also an Animal Crossing speedrun Discord. I think the link to that is available on the speedruns.com page for Animal Crossing. And in that, there are channels for every game. So if you have any questions, you can just ask in that channel. And in my experience, everybody in the Animal Crossing speedrun community is incredibly supportive and helpful. So you'll definitely get the help that you're looking for.
That's really great. And I can say from experience as well that you are very good at answering any questions that I've thrown into your chat because I like to hop in and watch you all the time. So it's really cool to just know that the rest of the community is like that as well and really open to sharing any ideas and strategies.
Right. No, I love getting questions. I love seeing people interested. And you have some great questions, Chewy. So anytime you want to ask them, I'll answer them.
Thanks a lot. I'll keep them coming. I've got tons all the time.
All right.
All right, everybody. Now I'm here with Cold Eggman, who is a speedrunner. And hi, Cold Eggman. How are you?
Hello. Good. How are you?
It's good to chat with you. I'm really glad that you were quick to respond and everything.
Yeah, man, it's cool. I really appreciate Drew for giving me a shout because I haven't really been doing too much AC stuff as of late. So it's nice that that Drew gave me a little shout out. So yeah, I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. And I'm glad he mentioned you as well, because I've seen some of your runs and it's awesome what you do. So I guess before we get too deep into it, though, can you tell our audience what you do as far as like speedrunning goes, what games you like to run?
So like, I don't know, I just kind of just like speedrun whatever I find interesting. Like recently I've been doing some new Subaru Legia U Deluxe on the Switch and a little bit of Splatoon speedrunning as well. I don't know, I just like to kind of just hang out and just kind of chill. I generally try to be a pretty chill person, and I don't know, I just like speedrunning, and AC is cool too. I used to do a lot of like AC challenges and all that, so yeah, I don't know, I just do it for fun mainly.
Awesome.
So yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that attitude really works with Animal Crossing. You know, it's a very chilled out game for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my first question for you, when did you first get into Animal Crossing?
I think I was like 10 or something. I don't really remember exactly, but I remember I played the GameCube game first. I guess we just kind of just had it around, and I tried it out, and it was pretty fun. It was just... I never really played that type of game before. I guess I didn't really play many games when I was younger, but yeah, I don't know. It was just fun to just kind of roam around and just do whatever. And also remember the debt you had to pay off was like, oh man, it was crazy. Cause I didn't know any of the good money making tricks. So I was just selling like she sells. I can't say it. I remember it took me like half a year to like pay off my final debt to Nook. It was crazy.
Yeah,
like, it was crazy, but I remember I got the statue you get for paying off all your debts, and I was like, I thought it was the coolest thing ever. yeah so I don't know, yeah, I don't really have much other memories of it, just had a lot of fun playing it, just kind of discovering stuff. It was a good time.
Yeah, for sure. And that I really like that you started so young and really struggled with that, with making money in that first game, because it's a difficult game to make money in for anybody just starting.
Yeah, the original is rough, man. You know, that you get this massive debt. It's not the biggest debt they've ever given you, but like, I mean, the later games, they make it so easy to make bells anyway, so it doesn't really make a difference. But yeah, if you don't know what you're doing in the game, like honestly... The GameCube one, if I'm playing like without using glitches and whatnot, like the duplication glitch, it's still kind of hard to make money in that game, just in general. Even if you know what you're doing, it still takes quite a bit of effort, especially compared to the later games in the series.
Yeah, I kind of experienced that recently, and I basically... Yeah. Almost memorized that code that you could put in three times to get 30,000 bells.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember I used to love entering those codes for the golden tools. I was like, I was like so cool, because I didn't really know how to actually get the golden tools. I couldn't catch all the fish or bugs because I was like really bad and I didn't know what they all were either. So we didn't really have much internet back then, so I didn't really know exactly. So I thought it was so cool that there were golden tools that I could get. I was like, wow, this is so cool. And like the 30,000 bell code too.
Yeah, those are pretty helpful. So when did you first learn about speedrunning Animal Crossing?
So I think like back in like 2015 or something, I saw a video in my YouTube, and it was Animal Crossing Golden Rod speedrun. Mm-hmm. And it was from Brian MP16. It was in 128.05. I was just like, I was just so confused. I was like, how do you speedrun this game? What? That's everyone's reaction. That was my reaction too. I was like, someone caught all the fish in an hour and a half. And like, I don't think I even caught all the fish like ever in that game.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe it was 2014. I don't remember. But yeah, I it was just so crazy to watch. I was just like, how could you speedrun this game? And it was so impressive to watch, because I've never seen a run of that game at all. I don't know how it worked. So it was just so impressive to see someone catch all the fish in that little amount of time. So yeah, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, and that is like definitely everybody's first reaction to learning that you can speedrun Animal Crossing, because it does go against the very nature of the game, where you have that real-time aspect, and you know, you're not intended to time travel, but of course you always can. But
yeah,
people really play the game in a different way. So I guess what surprised you about like that first run you watched outside of speedrunning Animal Crossing?
Yeah, I don't know. It was just like, just the fact that it even existed at all, I was just like, I don't know. It's just something that you don't really think about. You just don't put it together at all. But someone actually did. And actually, Brian, I believe, is the originator for like Animal Crossing speedrunning. And I think I saw his video afterward on like Animal Crossing Bingo and stuff. And I was just like, dude, this stuff is like so cool. And there wasn't really much else on it. I was just like, dang, I really want, I want some more of like AC speedrunning content. I thought it was so cool.
Yeah, yeah, that is really cool. And Drew mentioned the bingo as well, and I hadn't heard of that before, and I thought that was a really interesting way to look at speedrunning.
Right, yeah.
So, did you know about speedrunning before?
Yeah, I knew about, like, you know, Mario and, like, Zelda games and whatnot. Of course, I was never actually really good at it. I remember I ran 3D World for a little bit, like, the Wii one. Back in like 2014 or something. It wasn't really that serious. I just honestly, I only did like the Beat World 4, which is not even like a real category. And I did like also like long speed runs for fun, like Super Mario Galaxy 1 242 star, which is like 15 hours or something. So yeah, I don't know, I just kind of did stuff for fun. I didn't really take anything too seriously. I was really impressive to see those speedruns back in the day, though, especially like the Zelda games. I could just not imagine how insane that is.
Yeah, were there any Zelda games in particular you watched?
Oh yeah, I watched like Wind Waker and like OOT. Like those two were like big ones for me to watch. It was really impressive just to see all the glitches and stuff done in those.
Yeah. Yeah, so you mentioned, you know, you're a pretty casual type of player. You like to doing it for fun and everything.
Yeah.
But it does seem like speedrunning kind of adds a competitive aspect to Animal Crossing. Do you find yourself as a competitive person?
I don't know. It kind of depends. Like, usually I kind of just like to have like friendly competition. I think that's fun. Like when someone beats my time in something, I'm like, man, I wonder if I should beat that back. It depends on like what game it is. If it's something I haven't ran like in such a long time, but I don't plan on coming back, I'm just like, oh, that's cool. Okay, I don't really care. But like if it's a game that I've ran recently and I'm like, okay, I really need to like improve this time more. So yeah, like, I don't know. It really actually motivates me a lot when there is some competition, because it actually gives me the motivation to keep running. Because one problem I have with speedrunning is I just get kind of bored after a while, especially when like no one else is like kind of doing the same game pretty actively. So yeah, competition really keeps me motivated, I guess, to just keep running the game alongside other people.
That's cool. Yeah, and I feel like there's like a community aspect to that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure. So do you feel like you approach Animal Crossing in a more competitive way now?
I don't know, because like Animal Crossing isn't really like super competitive. I don't know, it kind of just depends on like the game and stuff. But yeah, I don't know, I think we're all just kind of just here to just have fun running the game, kind of just seeing how other people do. I know like the City Folk community has really popped off recently, which is really cool. Like a lot of Japanese runners, and you know, you got Drew as well, which actually puts in like a lot of effort in like the City Folk and Wild World speedruns, which is really cool to see. But yeah, I don't know.
I really like seeing City Folk get a little bit of a resurgence, because it seems to be like that bad step kid that Nintendo had in the Animal Crossing world.
Yeah.
So when did you yourself get into running Animal Crossing?
It was around like February of 2017, and like how I got into it was I was actually watching Pants's old Hundo world record. The world record at the time was 38 hours long. I was like, I thought the world record was about like 50 hours, but then apparently he recently beat it, and I was just like, what? I didn't even know that. So I like looked to the run just for fun. I was just like, all right, let's see what he did here. And then I watched him enter a code and it took him like 40 to 50 seconds or something. I was just like, huh, I wonder how fast I can enter a code. And I did it in like 20 to 30 seconds. I was just like, wait, I could actually maybe beat the 100% record. Like, I actually thought that. And like, since no one else wanted to do it, because, you know, it was so long and like, who would actually want to do that? I was just like, you know what? I'm going to actually try to do it. I'm actually going to try to beat the 100% record, because, I mean, why not? And yeah, I mean, I don't know. That was really my main motivation to get into the game, was 100% speedrun.
That's really awesome. Yeah, 100% is definitely one that's like a daunting task for anybody looking at games to do, especially in Animal Crossing with so many things available. So I guess, what kind of research do you start doing before you do a run like that?
Like 100%?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, because like, there wasn't really much resources for it other than, like, you know, you just get like a list of codes you enter. You definitely practice the codes a lot, for sure. But I guess for like games in general, I kind of just look at the world record video and see if it's interesting enough to run. And then if there's like a tutorial, I could like follow that, or I could just kind of just, I usually just try to learn off of like other people just in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really liked what you said here about if it's interesting enough to run. So I guess, like, what kind of motivates you? What catches your interest in any run?
Like fast paced gameplay, definitely. If it's like really fast and it's like looks really cool, but it's not like too difficult. Like, a lot of Zelda games I've wanted to run, but like, I just instantly get demotivated because there's just a bunch of like frame perfect tricks and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Not even like frame perfect, like input, like kind of precision tricks. And I just don't really have the patience to do that. That's why I kind of picked up NSLU, New Super Luigi U, because the levels were really short. That means they were kind of easy to like try and optimize, and it was a pretty fast game. So I don't know. That really just caught my attention. Also Splatoon as well, is some really interesting like movement mechanics too. And it's not too complicated. And I had played that game for like a while, so it's kind of a good game to kind of just get into speedrunning as well.
That's awesome. Yeah, I guess I hadn't thought of that, where a lot of the inputs that you have to perform for some runs, I've always known about like the frame perfect ones. I'm like, I don't want to, I can't get started with that. But yeah, there's so many little tricks that people are doing with their controllers, and you're just like, how do you click those buttons the way you do?
Yeah. The codes especially, like, you can't, a lot of people just say, oh, why not just plug in like a USB keyboard, or they actually sold a GameCube controller keyboard, but it doesn't work with Animal Crossing. It only works with like one, I think it's Fantasy Star Online or something. But yeah, you can't use the keyboard. You have to actually input it with the control stick on an on-screen keyboard. So yeah, that definitely takes a lot of practice to get the inputs for.
Yeah, that's a really interesting thing too, because, you know, there tend to be rules in the speedrunning community about like what versions of games you can play or cannot play, if it's like a ROM or something, you know?
Right.
So I guess, are there rules against like getting a keyboard that works with the GameCube?
So if theoretically there was a mod to use the keyboard in Animal Crossing somehow, I don't even know if anyone's done that, that would definitely be banned, because the rules state that you cannot use third party like software or hardware or anything like that. You have to use official controllers and everything, so that would definitely be banned just based on that rule.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's good note to have for people looking to run the game.
Yeah.
So I do want to dig into some of the games you've played, specifically Animal Crossing. So which Animal Crossing games have you run, and what categories have you done within them?
So the main one I did was the GameCube one, obviously. And I did the Japanese versions of the GameCube Animal Crossings, the Debotsu no Mori Plus and Debotsu no Mori E Plus. I did that for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I did do Wild World and City Folk, but I didn't really take it too seriously. I mean, I think the most serious the one I did was like City Folk All Debts, but I haven't ran that in like a couple years. Mm-hmm. Wild World, I did a little bit of All Debts because the letter header glitch is kind of interesting, but I didn't really do much with that. I did like one golden net run of Wild World and like never again. And City Folk, I think the only other one I did was like Golden Watering Can or something. I did New Leaf, but honestly, the only reason I ran New Leaf was for the 100% run. I was actually secretly prepping for that. That's why I even picked up that game in the first place. I did mainly First Dead, a little bit of Golden Net, and then, yeah, the 100% speed run I did a few months ago. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. The GameCube one was the only one I actually took seriously. The other ones I kind of just did just to kind of experiment with them. But, yeah, I didn't really take them as far as the original GameCube version.
I got you. So I guess what was it about the GameCube version of the game that piqued your interest?
The snappy like movement and the movement, it's really fun. I also really like the GameCube controller in general. It's a really good controller to use, and I don't know. It's just the game I grew up with the most, and it has like some really interesting like glitches too. I don't know. It just always seemed like the most interesting game for me to run. And I never really gave the other games too much attention. Although recently with the growth in like City Folk and Wobble, I can actually appreciate those runs a lot more. City Folk, especially like the Golden Net Spear run is under 2 hours now, which is insane. I would have never thought it would have gone to that point. Just watching the run, it's really smart, you know, seeing like the route they do and like how they do things. And it really just gives me a lot more respect for that. And Wobbled, they use the letter header glitch in really interesting ways too. And like the golden net speed run, they can get like certain flowers, and like they even get like the golden axe so they can chop down like all the trees, which eliminates like bug spawns. So yeah, it's really cool to see, because those games don't have like the acre system where you can just flip the screen back and forth to respawn the area. You kind of have to actually play it a lot differently. And I think that's really cool. And especially New Horizons as well. You do this. I've seen the New Horizons Golden Net runs, and that's really, really cool too. The methods you use to like respawn the bugs and stuff is actually really cool. I would have like never thought of that. So yeah, huge props to them for coming up with those like strategies and stuff for those types of games.
That's awesome. Yeah. So you're talking a lot of tricks here, and I think it would help to get into what they are. Like you got me at letter header glitch. I've never heard of this. What is that?
So in the Japanese version of Wild World, only the Japanese version, since that was version 1.0 of the game, I believe. After that, they updated it when they released it worldwide. Mm-hmm. So I don't really know much about it, but like basically in the Japanese version, there is not a limit to the letter header. Like when you write a letter, there's no limit to the header of like, dear this person, like there was no limit to that, so you could like abuse that and like overflow memory or something, and like it gets you like a bunch of bells in your account, and if you type in like certain characters you can get like certain items, kind of like the Nook codes, but like not intended at all. Wow. And you can apparently like move buildings with it too. It's like so crazy. I don't know the exact details and like how it works, but it's just really crazy to see people like use it in that way. It's like it makes Wobbled a really interesting speedrun, and that's really cool.
That is, I had no idea that could happen. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. So you mentioned the runs that you liked to do in the GameCube one. What is the most challenging run that you did in the GameCube version?
I don't know. I think All Debts requires a lot of like good RNG, definitely. Like the map you need to get, because it's such like a short category, and like the biggest part of the run is like the chore segment, where like you need to have all the villagers really close to Nook's shop and like all that, because the really only like actual like heavy skill portion is like the duplication glitch, and like after you get past that, it's kind of just like running back and forth between the post office and Nook's and like paying off your debts and stuff, which isn't too complicated if you just know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's definitely a very challenging run to just kind of get runs going for. Another one I'd say is like Goldenrod is actually really hard, definitely, because there's a lot of like RNG you have to deal with, a lot of like 1% chance fish you have to find. And the way would just the fish work in that game is like you can't see it until you catch it. So categories like golden net, where you catch all the bugs, you can just see the bug and you can just run off. But the fish, you have to catch every single fish. Mm-hmm. Like if it's like a specific fish shadow, it's only a 1% chance, like the arowana, for example. So yeah, that's actually a very challenging category as well to just get runs going for.
Yeah, I can imagine. And I just don't have the luck with the RNG. I don't know who I'm angered, but they're they're against me.
I didn't really run Goldenrod that much for that reason. Golden net is definitely, I would say that's probably my favorite category, other than 100%, obviously. I think golden net is just a really fun, fast-paced category, and it's not too I would recommend that category first for people getting into the game, because it's just a lot of fun catching the bugs. And all debts is, yeah, it has the duplication glitch, which is cool, but like there's a lot more luck you need, because like in golden net, if you get like a bad map, it doesn't really matter, because you can just get good bug RNG and you can make up for that, so you don't really need to reset for the map over and over, and you won't get like really tedious. So there's a bit more leniency with that category. Mm-hmm. So I would definitely recommend people like would start with that one. I think that would be my personal pick.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I guess that gets us directly into this. Like, what advice do you have for people wanting to get into speedrunning Animal Crossing?
First off, patience, definitely. there's a lot of luck in the run. If you run like all debts or something, or like something you need a specific map layout, it takes 4 minutes to even see a map at all, which is the longest. I believe that is the longest out of all the Animal Crossing games. So you definitely need a lot of patience. But if you know, like there is a lot of RNG, but like, so like when it gets rough, like, you know, don't get like discouraged or anything. It happens to literally everyone, you know, everyone gets bad luck every now and then. But the movement and menuing are kind of like key parts of the run, in my opinion. I think those are like the biggest things to kind of focus on. Like, you know, with movement, like, you know, like taking like tight corners and stuff, you know, trying to like optimize your movement. I actually save you like a lot of time. You think it wouldn't because you're just running around, but like over time, it actually does add up quite a lot. And the menuing, yeah, the menuing you just kind of just get better at over time. And that also can save you a lot of time potentially, especially like menuing mistakes can lose you a lot of time, especially in the GameCube game. I believe that is like the most punishing for like menuing mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do wish they would return some of the menu things from the GameCube, like specifically being able to like select multiple items and then drop them all at once.
Oh yeah. That's really nice. Especially, I don't know. It's really good. That's also another thing to practice a lot. Actually, I don't even know what categories you'd really do that much on the selecting multiple things. Because in all debts, you have a full set of like auto medals, and you just press one of them, and then Nook says you want to sell them all, and you said yes, which is actually faster than selecting them all.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah,
that's cool. Awesome. So you kind of mentioned a bit about the other games you run, but if you want to, you know, just remind us real quick, what other speed run, or do you speed run any other games?
Yeah, so right now I'm doing New Super Luigi U Deluxe, the Switch version, and a bit of like Splatoon 2 Octa expansion. So I don't run AC at the moment. I might get back into it at some point, but like I'm not really sure at the moment. I've speedrun other games in the past, like A Link Between Worlds. I might come back to that at some point, or I could like think of some other speed game. I don't know. I'm kind of just thinking about a lot of things at the moment. but yeah, I'll get to something. Definitely.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I think this has been really awesome. It's really cool to get, you know, your perspective. You've done a lot of different runs for Animal Crossing, and right. I guess just so everybody can find you, where should they go?
You can find my Twitch at Cold Eggman. I have like pretty much the three main social medias I use are, I guess, social media, quote unquote, Twitch, YouTube, and Twitter. They're all Cold Egg, man. They're all the same. So, yeah, if you want to see my Twitter, I just post like stream updates and stuff. Nothing too much. But yeah, I stream mainly on Twitch and then YouTube. Not really doing too much with my YouTube. I just kind of post like PBs and stuff. But I might have some ideas for like YouTube content. But yeah, if you want to go find me on those are the three main platforms I use.
That's awesome. And that'll be in the show notes for anybody who wants to go over and check out Cold Egg Man.
All right, cool.
All right, everybody, this brings us to the end of the show, and that means it is time for Haken's Islander Corner. For those of you who don't know, every single week we ask our patrons on Patreon a question and read their answers out loud here on the show. This week's question was, what is your favorite autumn/spring DIY? And I ask this one specifically because September does mark the start of these two new seasons, and I thought it was really nice for us to get some northern and southern hemisphere people telling us what they really like to build during the season. So Quantrell actually gave a really great answer that Margot J loved. Margot J said, I have to agree with Quantrell. I want a real-life tree bounty lamp in my real-life house. And I have to agree with both of you. That lamp it's so good. It's a chef kiss of a lamp, for sure. Nebula said, maybe it's a little basic, but I absolutely adore the leaf piles in both autumn and spring. Having them peppered around the island feels natural and realistic, like the place is being lived in. Plus, they're super fun to run through. I don't care how basic it is, but leaf piles are one of my favorite things about this game. Every once in a while in the autumn, there is a leaf pile on the resident services platform, I guess the brick outside of it. The villagers just kind of hang out next to it, and I love that so much. Zibby and Tumeg both loved the leaf campfire, and Zibby said, it has to be the leaf campfire, customized to include roasting marshmallows. Anything involving food is an instant win for me. It's just so cozy and cute. I will never get tired of making autumnal camping areas and using this DIY. I can tell you that this is also one of my favorites. The little marshmallows really sell it. It is the cutest DIY in the game, possibly, just because of that. Samantha B said, the mush lamp. It just fits my forest theme so well, and I love them even more at night. Yes, Samantha, you sound like you have a town that I definitely need to visit. I love forests, I love the mush lamps, so let me come by sometime. Sasha 505 said, I can't decide between the mushroom log and the mushroom wreath, but both of these items look great in a town with a strong forest theme. I especially like giving the mushroom wreaths to my villagers. It looks great. I agree, that mushroom log. I especially love that you can place things on top of it. It's a really nice touch. And the wreath, I don't know why I haven't put one on my door yet. I need to go do that right away. Pearly Girl said, I was so excited to see the green grass of spring again. My favorite spring DIY is the bamboo shoot lamp. The soft glow it emits is so pretty and moody. Yes, I always love to see that one around. It does really light up a place in such a moody way, like you said. Squee of Tortuga said, for me, it's a toss-up between the acorn pochette and the two pond stones, cherry blossom and maple leaf. They're so subtle and peaceful. They look very natural and work in the environment. The pochette was one of my first DIYs I got when the game launched, and it goes with so many of my outfits. I love all the autumn DIYs. I wish it could be autumn all year round. Having said all that, the bamboo doll cracks me up every time and inspired our family to watch Princess Kaguya, which was really fascinating. Oh, that is a really good point. You know, that's a movie that I haven't watched, but I definitely know the reference. And so I'm gonna have to check that out. I really like that. And of course, I agree with you. Autumn all year round, that's the perfect weather for me. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Haken, an Animal Crossing podcast. If you're sad to see us go, join us over on Discord. You can talk with other people who love Animal Crossing as much as you do, including Sergio, Nina, and me. The link is in the description. Want to support Haken in a bigger way and tell us your answers to the Haken Islander Corner? Head over to patreon.com/chewyplays. $1 goes a long way to making this show even better and includes tons of goodies for you to enjoy. Get a special role on Discord, read a monthly newsletter, and just get all of the other great rewards that are available there. We really appreciate the support and put your money towards some great things on the show. If you're listening on YouTube, let us know your favorite spring and autumn DIYs. Reviews really help the show get discovered by more people. Please leave a review on your platform of choice and let us know how we're doing. Haken is a Wild production brought to you by Chewy, Sergio, Nina, and all of our patrons. We thank you for listening, and we hope you have a great week.